You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Well, it's fair to say that over the last decade, some banks and financial institutions have engaged in some less than ethical behavior, in some cases, broken the law. Many of these institutions have had to pay up for their actions, and a lot of the cases, though, there's one thing they didn't have to do, admit any wrongdoing.
Our next guest says the state of bank apologies is a sorry one, and while public statements of contrition may be few and far between, he says they can actually be quite useful when they do happen.
Joining us now is Jesse Eisinger. He's a senior reporter at ProPublica, covering Wall Street and finance. He also writes a regular column for the New York Times Deal Book section. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why does it seem to be difficult to squeeze an apology out of a financial institution when they done wrong?
Well, this started in the 1970s with the SEC as they turned to trying to sanction larger companies. They wanted to kind of smooth things over, so they wanted to reach settlements, and they thought that they could reach settlements that really were effective and do a lot more of them if they didn't require people to plead guilty and take people to trial, civil trials, because the SEC doesn't have criminal power. And so they started settling with companies. And then the people would go out and say, well, I just settled this for because it was a nuisance settlement, but I didn't do anything wrong. So then they said, okay, well, we're going to have you not be able to deny this. So we call them no admit, no deny settlement. And this kind of happened, and the SEC felt like this was going okay, but it became the kind of default settlement. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice, skipping forward to the early 2000s, started sort of similarly thinking, well, we can't take everybody to trial. We can't sanction companies with actual charges because that could put them out of business, like Arthur Andersen, the accounting firm. So we're going to sort of take a page out of the SEC's book, and we're going to come up with deferred prosecutions. We're not going to actually prosecute. We'll just say we'll prosecute the next time that you make a mistake. And in combination, we got this situation where no one was ever admitting anything wrong. They were just sort of settling.
So they settle, the bank pays up money for, in a sense, undisclosed reasons if there's no admission of guilt, no prosecution.
Exactly. Frequently, there would be some statement of facts, but the statement of facts weren't particularly robust. Sometimes there weren't statements of facts at all. And so we got into this kind of habit of having them pay up, and the fines got bigger and bigger because this is the only thing that the SEC and the DOJ had going for them, the only sort of tool that they could use. But the fines really weren't particularly hard to take for these companies because it comes out of shareholder pockets. It doesn't come out of the executives' pockets personally. And so they were sort of paying with other people's money. Even though the fines were getting big, it wasn't really taking a bite out of them. And so when Mary Jo White came into the SEC about a year ago, she's the current chairwoman of the SEC, the commission, she decided, well, we got to stop this. We have to have some cases where people actually admit that they did something wrong. And simultaneously, the Department of Justice has decided, well, we can't have companies preventing them from pleading guilty at all. We have to have them plead guilty. So there's been this step forward in the last year or so where the Department of Justice is getting companies, mainly banks, now to plead guilty to certain things, and the SEC is getting mostly companies, but a couple of individuals to actually admit that they did something wrong. And so, you know, we have to consider this a major step forward in progress to actually have an admission that you did something wrong when you get fined, but that's what we have, and so we have to consider that some progress, not much.
Well, I guess what was the problem? If the bank or other financial institution pays a bunch of money, everybody knows they were being punished for something. Is it just a fine point of etiquette that they say, sorry, here's what we did wrong? Or is there a consequence to not getting that?
Well, I think that it's no good to have banks settling without admitting that they're doing something wrong, because even though they can't deny that they did something wrong, that they can't say, oh, I'm just doing a nuisance settlement, that most people sort of think, well, this could as well have been a nuisance settlement. So I think that it is important on occasion for banks that have done something wrong to have to admit that they've done something wrong. And then we get to other reasons why this is helpful and important. And as you said, we want to sort of lay out the facts and have the facts out there so everybody sees it. It's also a knock-on effect where this helps private litigants in their pursue their claims. So if there's a private litigant who is a victim of the bank's misbehavior, that entity can bring a case in court and use the facts as laid out and use the admission in court. It's not a guarantee that they'll get a settlement as well or they'll get a penalty, they'll win their case, but it helps them. And what's happening now, though, is that the SEC and the DOJ are essentially tailoring their admissions to have little effect. They're very worried about the effects of these admissions, and so they're tailoring them so precisely as to make them anodyne. And that's no good. What we want, if they're going to go to the trouble of getting these guys to admit that they did something wrong, which is a good thing, then they should admit that they did something wrong and face the consequences.
Well, but isn't that part of the reason that the different federal entities you're talking about avoid this, that private litigant, that if the bank has to say, yes, I did this or we did this specific exact thing, that could open the floodgates to so many private lawsuits that it could threaten the well-being of a financial institution, which could threaten the well-being of our economy?
Yes, they're very worried about that, probably overly worried about it. It's not necessarily the case that the floodgates would be open so dramatically that it would necessarily threaten the business. But on the other hand, if a company has really done something very bad, then maybe that business shouldn't exist or should face some serious consequences, should face consequences commensurate with its bad actions. That's the only way I think we'll be able to get companies to act properly is if they see that the consequences are really significant. Now, there is some worry that the financial system could teeter on the brink of some kind of systemic failure if companies were going out of business. I'm sort of skeptical about that. But if they're worried about that, they can move to protect other companies. You could lend to other companies that weren't sanctioned, other banks, keep the lending windows open like that for other banks, and so that if you had Bank X that is really in trouble, banks Y and Z will continue to be able to operate. So I think they can. That it's not really the Department of Justice's job or the SEC's job to worry about the systemic fragility or stability of the financial system. If the cost of that is to let wrongdoers go free and recidivist law-breaking banks to continue to exist, I think that's too high a cost.
So you think there could be a scarlet letter effect if Bank X has made that apology? We know they are a wrongdoer. Bank Y hasn't had to do that. They've been more up and up. That might help the average investor or depositor or what have you select and reward good behavior?
Well, I think that that's possible if the consequences are significant enough for the banks. For instance, the head bank regulator in the state of New York, Benjamin Losky, now is kind of playing around with actual business consequences to bad actions. So the French bank BNP Paribas was charged with money laundering, and they weren't allowed to clear dollars, which is a kind of technical thing of allowing customers to use dollars in their transactions. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, is that there should be some business consequences so that you have to go to your clients and customers and say, well, we're actually not allowed to do this service because we're in the penalty box for this. We can't do an IPO, for instance, or we can't do any merger advisory for 6 months or a year. And that would have a kind of temporary effect, which would hit their bottom line, and that would also have a kind of lasting effect on their reputation because people would remember, oh, I went to these guys and asked them to do something, and they couldn't do it, and the reason why was that they had done something bad in the past. Now what happens is when they pay these fines, that it draws a line under the scandal. It finishes it up. There's nothing left of it, and customers and shareholders buy the stock and come back and do business with them because the cloud is lifted. That's not really what we want from a punishment, is to have it completely resolved and the reputation cleaned.
Well, you mentioned that just in the last year you've seen examples of more accountability, more specific admissions of guilt. Are those exceptions, or do you think they're the wave of the future?
Well, I think what's happening now is that the Department of Justice and the SEC are both waking up to the realization that they've been pretty toothless. And so we are getting these baby steps towards some accountability. But they're still clearly afraid of overstepping and having punishments that are too consequential. When we saw Credit Suisse, which helped clients evade American taxes, when they admitted to that, there weren't really any business consequences. In fact, what happened was the Department of Justice went around to all the financial regulators and kind of begged them to not take any action against Credit Suisse, not to withdraw their bank charter or something like that. So what the DOJ essentially did was get Credit Suisse to admit it had done something wrong, but designed it in such a way to have no further consequences for that. So what's the difference between that and a settlement? Not much, basically just semantic. So what we want to do, I think, is have punishments that fit the crime, so they're not excessive, but also have some consequences. It's not
right.
An easy task.
Jesse, that's all the time we have. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Jesse Eisinger. He's a senior reporter at ProPublica. We're talking about his latest column, The Sorry State of Bank Apologies.